Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, into your presence we have come this morning. Lord, knowing that your word can wash us and can make us whole, we pray that as we enter into the Sunday school session this morning, that your word will build us up, your word will wash us, your word will make us whole in Jesus' name. My Father, my God, the faith that we need to be faithful servants, the faith that we need to serve you to the point of reward, we pray, O Lord, that you build us up in it today in Jesus' name. As we hear the word of faith, we will become faithful people in the mighty name of Jesus. We will not just be hearers of your word, but doers of them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful and mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. This morning we are looking at faith. It's going to be one of a series of Sunday school topics on faith. So today we are looking at understanding faith. We are looking at understanding faith. In the 6 weeks leading up to today, we have looked at the need for us to go out there and evangelize and talk to people about Christ. In other words, everyone that we go and disciple somebody, we often say they are leading someone to Christ. You are leading, which means yourself, you are going towards him or you are with him and you are leading somebody, you know, to come with you. So you lead, you are a leader. And this kind of work is a work of faith. It requires faith for us to do what God has called us to do. So, and I want to believe that God is going to build each and every one of us up by reason of his word today in Jesus' name. Faith. The text, as you will know, is actually from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to the end. But I believe that in the course of discussing faith, we are going to end up covering the whole of that chapter. That's why I'm not asking us to read through. Maybe we'll just do well by reading a bit of it. Open to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And then we are going to read from verse 1 to 12. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 12. Can I have two people read, please? Somebody to read verse 1 to 6, another one to read 7 to 12. Praise the Lord. 7 to 12. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called up to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Praise the Lord. This chapter is often referred to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. And the Bible chronicles the names of people who have been faithful. My prayer for you and I this morning is that when the names of the faithful are being compiled in heaven, your name will be there in Jesus' name. Let's start by defining what faith is. You agree with me that faith is one of those terms that the Bible actually has a definition for. There are many words we see in the Bible that you need to infer. You need to look at other places to be able to get what they mean. But the Bible actually goes on to directly define faith. And one of the things I found most useful when I was in school is to try to understand or have a definition of something. Just understand what it means. That way you can always go back to the basics. It does not matter how much or whatever you learn afterwards. You can always relate it back to your understanding of the definition of that term, of that word. So the Bible expressly defines faith. It said, now faith is a substance. Please, I'm paraphrasing. He's saying faith is a substance. And it also says that faith is an evidence. So on its own, faith is a substance. And faith is an evidence that you have in your hand prior to the appearance of that which you are waiting for to appear. That's the way the Bible defines it. Therefore, it is a means by which man enters into a union with God to develop a trust that transcends things in the realm that are immediately visible, perceptible, or evidenced. In other words, it is by it that we can relate with God. So without it, we cannot form a relationship with God. Remember, we are trying to understand faith. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where we read, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Can you form a relationship with somebody you are not pleased with? It's not possible. Amos 3:3 says what? Can two walk together unless they be what? They be agreed. So the only way you can form a relationship with God, or there be an agreement between you and God, is when you operate in what? In faith. When you are not limited by the things you see alone. If you do a bit of study on faith, some people describe a continuum. That is, they say that knowing something you know, like something you've already seen, you know exists, is a lower form of existence. Believing then goes higher than that. And our faith is the ultimate. You know, you can believe something because you see it. I know a lot of people will have difficulties teasing out one from the other. But faith is a higher form of believing. In other words, a lot of people would stake what they have on what they know. I know this. How can you take it? You cannot tell me that it is not possible. You cannot tell me that this has not happened, because I know. Because this and that happened. I handled it. I touched it myself. I know. That is, they know. And some people would then move to another level and say to you, even though I've not seen it, I believe God can do it. Oh, yes, I know it is possible with God. I believe. And yet, we can move to another level where we say, even though I have not seen it, I know. Because God has said it. I know. So there is a knowing, and the only evidence for knowing in the case of faith is the faith you have in God. The evidence you have in your hand is that you have faith in God. So you know by reason of your faith in God's power, his abilities, his promise, and his word. The reason a lot of us falter with faith is the next statement here that I want to make, is that you have to live in faith to experience faith. Did you hear that? You have to live in faith to experience faith. Therefore, it becomes unverifiable to those who live outside it. You have to live in faith in order to experience faith. Therefore, it is not verifiable to those who are outside faith. How do I mean? It is a spiritual thing. And it produces result to those who live in it. Those who don't live in faith cannot reap the fruit of faith. And therefore, to them, it is not verifiable. That is the first thing I want you to take notes in regards to that statement. The second thing I want you to take notes in regards to the statement is that as a child of God, when you live by faith, because it is not verifiable to those who don't live in faith, you don't go and seek advice on things of faith from people who don't live in faith, because they themselves do not experience it and cannot know it. Because the Bible says spiritual things are what? Are spiritually discerned. They cannot know it. So those of us who seek counsel, sometimes, you know, Christians are troubled and they go to people, for whatever reason, they go to people who are not Christians. God help you. Because the counsel they are going to give you will not be by faith. Because they don't live in it. It's only those who live in faith that experience faith. So their counsel cannot be the counsel of faith. We read the account of Noah, who by faith was moved with fear and started building an ark for years. Now, can you imagine if Noah had to go to someone else to seek counsel? Do I build the ark or not? Is it necessary to build the ark? And as far as eyes could see, it was most unnecessary. It was what? Most unnecessary. Why? Because all that he had to go by was that he had a voice that told him that the end was coming. Go and prepare an ark and gave him dimensions. In these days, people will tell him he has schizophrenia. And the guy was building daily, year in, year out. Can you imagine? He must have looked ridiculous. Christians, we are no longer patient people. We are no longer faith people. God will help us in Jesus' name. It pleases God when we live in faith. That's what we read in Hebrews 11:6. And the other thing about faith is that it is a quest with an unending depth that invites the believer to know more of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13 to 19. It's a quest that the more you know, the deeper you get into it. You can always go deeper and deeper and deeper. So when you hear a child of God saying, look, there's nothing else that we need to find out. I've seen it all. That man is not living in faith. It's a quest that the more you know, the more yet there is to know. Ephesians 3, 13 to 19. Can somebody quickly read? The Lord. That's the last part I want us to do. He said, though it's too great, it's too deep, it's too wide, it's too broad, it's too high. You know? So the more you know of him, the more there is to know. That is why, after all the revelation that Paul had, he said, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are in the past and reaching forward for those things that are before me. And he said, not that I myself have apprehended. He said, I still strive daily to apprehend the purpose for which I was apprehended. So there is a daily striving to know more of God. That is the life of a man that lives in faith. You never know more enough of him. Sometimes when we sing the song, Fill My Cup, and we say, till I thirst no more. So I'm often very skeptical about that song. Because what God really wants us to do is to be thirsty for him. The more of him we know, the more of him we desire, until we become like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Faith is a way of life. God invites every Christian to make faith a way of life and living. So, a way of life and living. So, that's the way we live. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7. Can somebody quickly read? It's very simple. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Mm-hmm. So, we do what? Okay. Replace that word work with live. For we live by what? By faith and not by sight. How many of us truly live by faith these days? How many? Praise the Lord. That we don't do the sums and make sure that it balances out before we make the next move. You don't do the sums. Even in the church, if you tell people, let's do this, the first thing that will happen, that people will start to calculate, why is it necessary? Why do you need this? Why, you know, we don't live by faith. We want to live by sight, by what we can see. And that limits us. And that is why, you know, God is not able to do what he wants to do in the life of his people. Can we read Romans chapter 14, verse 23? Romans 14, someone has to open to Galatians 3:11. I want us to take note of the last part of that verse. It says, for whatsoever is not of faith is what? Whatsoever is not of faith is what? So in other words, there's room for faith in every aspect of our lives. For whatsoever. In fact, I was talking in regards to eating there. So it is possible for somebody to eat of faith. He said, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We will live in faith in Jesus' name. Galatians 3:11. What does it say? Praise the Lord. It is true faith, for the just shall live by what? By faith. It is true faith that the righteous shall live. What then happens is this. Once faith becomes your way of life, it sets a new reality for you. It sets a new reality for the believer. And that reality is what influences the realities around you. Because we know that everything in the physical has first of all existed in what? In the spiritual. And it's the man of faith that is able to call them to existence. That life of faith has the ability to change the physical life around you. Therefore, before something becomes available in the physical realm to the unbeliever, the man of faith will have seen it from where? From afar off. Somebody please quickly read Colossians 3, 1 to 3. A new reality is set for you. Colossians 3, 1 to 3. Mm-hmm. 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 Praise the Lord. So for the man of faith, what happened? Their reality changes. They set their hearts on what? On the things that are above. Not on the things that are on earth. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. Read. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. What does it say? Praise the Lord. I want us to take note of something there. This in particular, I want us to take note of, which is in verse 10. No, start from verse 9. He said, by faith, he, that is Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. Do you understand what it means? By faith, he sojourned in the land of his promise as if he's in a strange country. But this is a place that God had already given him. In other words, when Abraham, when the promise of God became true in the life of Abraham, Abraham did not say that he had achieved all that they needed to achieve. He did not rest on his oars. For many of us, God has promised us worldly things, and they are being fulfilled in our lives, and we think we have arrived. When Abraham received his own promise, he did not think he has arrived. Verse 10 said, for he looked for a city whose builder is God. He didn't think he has arrived. He was not. He said he sojourned in that land as if he was a stranger. He didn't say, look, I have this, I have that. He's all the promises. Now I'm where God has asked me, he said I will be. He knew that there was something bigger than that. That's the way the man of faith lives. I told you that the more God does, or the more as you live in faith, the deeper you go in him, you find out that that there is more of him to know. There is more of him that you can have. Abraham did not rest because he got to the promised land. He looked for a greater thing in the Lord. And that is the way we ought to live as people who live by faith. Praise the Lord. I say faith allows you to see from afar that which will only become available to the general public in years to come. So that when a man of faith speaks, other people cannot understand him. You say, let's do this. People will argue. They say, because you are a man of faith, you are already seeing ahead. Can we look at Genesis chapter 13, 14 to 18? That is very crucial. Genesis 13, 14 to 18. Praise the Lord. Let's take it. After what has gone? After Lot has gone. To be a man of faith and to receive what God has promised you, sometimes Lot has to leave. You cannot. If the promise is not for you and Lot, and you hold Lot by force, you may never receive your blessings. He said, after Lot has gone, what did what happened? Abraham, God then invited Abraham, said, look, so it's so important, whatever we are holding on to that is ungodly, if we don't leave those things, you may, because to human eyes, Lot was who? Was Nahor's son. That was Abraham's younger brother's son. And he had a responsibility, so he felt, to take him along for the promise. But the promise was not meant for both of them. And at a point, he had to say, look, so that there will be no quarrel, let's go. Let's part ways. And as soon as they did, the Lord appeared to him and said, what? Read on. Praise the Lord. Leave it there. God put a condition there. He said, I'm giving this land to you. What was the condition? You didn't take note of that. He said, as far as you can see. If you call yourself a man of faith and you cannot see as far, and you can only see from now to the door. Let me tell you, for example, in the life of this church, I'm not seeing this church now. I'm seeing this church that one day, you know, it will be the place that people want to be. I'm seeing this church that is a place that will begin to have impact upon the life of people worldwide. And I'm telling you, whether you like it or not. You see, I was listening to Leadership by Joshua. You see, everyone who God wants to use must be people who will be willing to stand alone if need be. A time will come that you need to stand alone. Abraham will not stand alone, and his blessing did not appear until he then decided that it is time to stand alone. When the day came, Jesus had to do what? He had to stand alone. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, wait for me here. And he had to go and face the music himself. Abraham, when he had to sacrifice Isaac, what did he do? He said, wait for me here. Everyone had to wait. He had to go forward to make the sacrifice. It's not meant to be convenient. The way of faith is not meant to be convenient. But I believe that as we go on and do teachings on faith, we will find out that that is the best way to live. In the immediate, it may not be convenient. But the result transcends generations. You will live by faith in Jesus' name. It becomes an instrument for shaping the here and now and the future. The future of people around you will depend on whether you live by faith or not. Genesis 18, verses 18 and 19. Can somebody quickly read? I know our time is gone. Okay. Praise the Lord. New Living Translation doesn't really capture it as much as King James. He said, because I know him, that he will teach, he will lead his children to follow me. Therefore, the promise which I have given him will come to pass. Because God knows that he will direct him. So, a man of faith will shape the future. You will shape the future in Jesus' name. I was reading a newspaper, The West, and I saw an advert there by Curtin University. Did you read the advert? Who read the advert? Okay. The advert says, leaders do not follow public opinion. They create them. The man of faith will do what? Will create public opinion. He doesn't follow public opinion. Praise the Lord. Did you understand that? Praise the Lord. Because you can see far ahead. You can see what? Far ahead. When everyone is saying, why is this necessary? Why is that? You know, is it possible? Can that happen? Can this be? You can see far ahead. Praise the Lord. Faith as a currency of heaven. That is the means by which you trade in heaven. Praise the Lord. Every home, family, marriage, and relationship has its dynamics that is peculiar to it. Faith is the dynamic of heaven that is peculiar to it. Okay, that is the interaction. Look at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. He says, anyone who wants to buy from heaven, what did he say? He said, come and buy. You need no money. You need no money. All that you need is what? Is faith. Read Isaiah 55, 1 to 5 by yourself when you get home. heavenly transactions are conducted in faith currency. We already know Mark 11:22-24, Jesus was speaking, saying, have God's own kind of faith. And he says, if you have that faith, if you tell the mountain to move and be cast into the sea without doing what? Without doubting in your mind. He says, you will have whatever you say. Praise the Lord. That is heavenly currency. Let me tell you something. If you are without faith and you just think you paddle along and go along, you will not receive anything from heaven. You will not receive anything from heaven. You may have what everyone else has, but I'm telling you, you will not receive what heaven has to offer. By it, we accept the lordship of God and our trust in him. You need to go and just read. Job says in 13 verse 15. What does he say? He says, even though he slays me, I will serve him. By faith. It's only faith that makes one to say that. Job 13:15. Even though he slays me, even though things are not going well, even though it looks life is in a kind of topsy-turvy, even though I live a life of a kind of roller coaster, he said, I will still do what? I will serve him. That will be our stand in Jesus' name. Of course, we know that faith is the basis for salvation and sanctification. You are not saved by works, but by grace through the faith in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And that is what sanctifies us. So we are not just mere do-gooders. Someone may give $200 to somebody and you give $50 to that person by faith. I'll give you an example. The widow's mite. People came and gave out of their abundance. The widow came and gave her mite because it was by faith. She was not an ordinary do-gooder. She received the word. And that is the life of a Christian. Otherwise, we'll just be ordinary people. It is the faith that makes the difference. Faith will make the difference in your life in Jesus' name. Lastly, you will hear me. I will hammer on this point very, very well over the next several weeks because it's something that disturbed me. You know, I'm going to hammer on it. But I will just say it here. Faith is a uniting force. Because faith in God and his son Jesus Christ allows us to receive the same Holy Spirit. And of course, if indeed we are controlled by the same Spirit, then our desires become one. That is to see the kingdom of God expand on earth. It is only when we are of faith that we can be united. When people are not of faith, wherever you find it, there will be division, there will be dissension, there will be dissimulation. Those of us who are the house fellowship on last Tuesday, I told them, the people who came, I said, look, I wanted to search out and find out that why there is no unity in the church. I wanted to find out if it is often due to the administration of the church or is it that the people have the problems themselves. So I went and did some research. I've always told us about it, about this research group in the U.S. They found out that only 9% of born-again Christians believe in the infallibility of the word. So anyone who does not believe the word in the first place, how can the person be of faith? And then, I found out that it will interest you to know that atheists have lower divorce rates than Christians, 21% in America. Okay. The people with the highest divorce rate is in the Bible Belt. of America, the Midwest, the West, the Baptists have the highest divorce rate of 29% by that research. Born-again Christians have a divorce rate of 27%. Atheists, 21%. Catholics, 21%. Mormons, 21%. And the author concluded, he is also a Christian, so don't think some people are playing pranks on us or they are against us. He's a born-again Christian, okay? And they concluded that Christians or born-again Christians, no, let me, another statistics. 90% of born-again Christians who divorce marry themselves after they had both become born again. So don't say it's because the person had married somebody who was not born again. That's not true. Basically, the conclusion is that born-again people don't live under the principles of God when they have to take decisions concerning money, their finance, their morals, their home, and then they don't live under the principle of God. We just come to church every Sunday like this and we hear the word and we go. As soon as we leave that place, it does not reflect in our decision-making at all. If you want a copy of the write-up, I'll be glad to supply you with it. In fact, the more recent one actually shows that born-again Christians have a divorce rate of 34%. So, faith is a uniting force. When there's no faith, you don't know how husband and wife can quarrel over $100 as if the world is going to end. I'm telling you, quarrel over $100 as if and become enemies over little things, and then you think that kind of person will come to church. No wonder. You see, the Bible, God is so wise. That's why he would say, look, for leadership, first of all, your home needs to be solid. God is so wise. He knows that if you cannot maintain two people. I also share a testimony with them. I said, somebody came to me and said, look, I'm leaving the church. And I said, why? He said, you see, he said, the church, when I first came to the church was very multicultural. You know, there are many people from different countries in the church. As if you are an Australian, you get to heaven, they will close the gate against you. Or if you are a Nigerian, they will close the gate against you because you are not from a multicultural church. And within a week, the mother-in-law of that person called me and said, they've asked me to leave. Oh, he said, the husband and wife, they made a meeting and asked me to leave. The same man who said the church was not multicultural. I was forced to call their home. I called the mom. I spoke to the mom because she left a message for me. I then called this person to find out what was happening. And she said, you see, that they asked, when I spoke to the man, he said, we've resolved as a family that she has to go. She has to go. We've given her 1 week. We bought her ticket. We are sending her away. We are doing this. And as soon as I dropped the phone, I believe in the Spirit of God, just reminded me, he said, but that is what, he said, look at what it takes to maintain a home, not to talk of maintaining a multicultural church. Praise the Lord. God will help us in Jesus' name. Lastly, faith has power. Faith has what? Has power. I will leave it at that. Remember, many people will come to Jesus. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Look at Mark 22. Mark 10, 46 to 52. Jesus will say what? Thy faith has done what? Has made thee whole. Thy faith has made thee whole. Faith has power. So if you are a man of faith, you are a man of power. Can we just rise up, please? Can you just thank God for his word this morning? Say, Father, make me a man of faith. Make me a woman of faith. Make me a man of faith. Make me a woman of faith. All my life, I want to live by faith. I don't want to live by the things I can see. I don't want to live by the immediate things of life. I want to live by faith. Make me a man of faith. Make me a woman of faith. To every man is given a measure of faith. Like the people who receive the talent, it all depends on us whether we want to build it up or not. Ask that God will make you a man and a woman of faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God counted the faith of Abraham as righteousness unto him. Can you pray this morning that God will count your faith as righteousness unto you? Even as you make sacrifices, as you, in order to please the Lord, you live in faith, in order to please him, that God will count it unto you as righteousness in Jesus' name. You will be a faithful one like Abraham in the mighty name of Jesus, and the Lord will remember those sacrifices you are making on behalf of his name and on behalf of the kingdom, and he will count you faithful and he will justify you in Jesus' name. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Now you are going to pray that everything that militates against your faith, that the Spirit of God will rise against it in Jesus' name. Everything that militates against your faith, that the Spirit of God will rise against it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything that militates against living a life of faith, ask that the Holy Spirit of God will raise a standard against it in Jesus' name, that you will live a life of faith all the days of your life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and all the glory this morning. Lord Jesus, only those who live by faith can win with you, because we know that without faith it is impossible to please you. Therefore, Lord Jesus, we pray that we'll be a people who will not just live by words, but that words, that there will be words we are convinced of, that there will be words that we will be faithful to, that, Lord, your blessings and your delight will be in us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Pray.